The madness continues tonight. Let's get it. The men's Sweet 16 tips off as we got a couple great matchups, including 2-seed UCLA taking on 3-seed Gonzaga. My Huskies taking on 8-seeded Arkansas. That's in Vegas. On the East region, we got 7-seed Michigan State facing 3-seed Kansas State. And 9-seed FAU taking on 4-seed Tennessee in the Mecca Madison Square Garden. I've been promising him all morning. Here he is, the one and only Seth Greenberg. Hi, Coach. You fired up for tonight or what?
Are you ready? That's the biggest question. I'm a little worried about you, Molly.
I'm feeling amazing.
You're going to have the poise of Danny Hurley today.
Oh, yeah. It's going to be great. All right. I'm not going to start with UConn because I'm not going to be that annoying. Most likely upset tonight, Coach.
I think it's going to be Michigan State. I think Michigan State over Kansas State. And you say, wait a second, Michigan State. Well, you know, Tom Izzo in the tournament is one thing, but I think it's their backcourt. I really like the way Tyson Walker's playing, a New York City guard, although he's going to be matched up with another New York City guard, Marquise Noel, and A.J. Hogard. And then just Michigan State, I think they'll do a good job of containing Marquise Noel, keeping him in front of all those ball screens. I think Joey Hauser's playing at a higher level. I think they'll be up to rebound the ball on the defensive end and be up to get out in transition. I like Michigan State to pull off this upset.
I'm going to beat Molly to the punch here and ask you about Arkansas-UConn. I want you to handicap that matchup for me and tell me what you see in that. I mean, obviously, UConn's been very impressive, but I got to admit, I was surprised by Arkansas, to say the least. I really was surprised at what they did against Kansas. What are your thoughts about that matchup?
Arkansas is a good basketball team. The challenge is going to be for UConn is going to be the defense of Arkansas. Arkansas has the ability to run you off the three-point line. They're holding people to 30%. The matchup that you want to watch. You want to watch one matchup in this game? Watch this matchup. Jordan Hawkins, Devo Davis. Devo Davis is a relentless defensive player. He's also a downhill driver. Jordan Hawkins, he's been terrific. Think about it. He and Sanogo in the second half of games in the NCAA tournament, 61 points, 27 for 31. I'm not sure they're going to shoot the 47% that they shot from the three-point line in the first two games. So watch that Devo Davis-Jordan Hawkins matchup and watch the relentless defense of Arkansas against a UConn team that will look to pound that thing inside, get to the offensive glass, and deal with the pressure of Arkansas. I think Connecticut will do it. But I think this is going to be a high-level game. Two coaches on the benches. Think about this. Two coaches on the benches, Stephen A. You got Danny Hurley, who can have an out-of-body experience. And then you got Eric Musselman. Please, Eric, keep the shirt on. It should be an NCAA violation if you take off the shirt.
That's low, Coach.
That's low, Coach. Come on, man.
Coach, you know how Stephen A. does the Stephen A.'s world? He does the show and you like watch them. It's on ESPN2, the simulcast, right? And you get to watch the games with him, that kind of thing. I wish you had one tonight, Stephen A. I wish you had it tonight and we were watching UConn and we just had the cameras watching us watch the game, because I promise you it will be riveting television.
But well, I'm not rooting against them. I mean, I'm not rooting against them until, you know, if they end up going to, up against UCLA, because I've picked UCLA to come out of that region. But they've got a matchup coming up against Gonzaga. I want to know what you think about that, Coach.
It's all about pace. You know, we talk about UCLA, we talk about their great defense, and then we talk about, obviously, Gonzaga, we talk about their great offense. I'm going to give you a couple things to look for in this game, Stephen A. Jaime Jaquez. How is Gonzaga going to deal with Jaime Jaquez, who is one of the toughest matchups in college basketball? He's 6'8", big body, shoots the three, can play down in the post, will drive it off the elbow. And on the other hand, you know, how will UCLA and that stout defense, and UCLA's defense is incredible. It starts with the ability to defend the ball. It then, obviously, goes on to the ability to defend the three-point line, protect the paint, protect the rim. But Drew Timmy's a hard matchup. Pace of play will be important. And can Gonzaga contain Jaime Jaquez? Can UCLA contain Drew Timmy and the transition game of Gonzaga?
I want to get into something else now, guys. Rick Pitino, introduced as St. John's new coach on Tuesday, had some interesting comments on the current roster. Let's take a listen to that.
The one thing I want to be honest with, that a lot of players probably won't be back on this team because they're probably not a good fit for me. I mean, I think my players love playing for me, but it takes a certain type of basketball player to want to play for me. He's got to be a total over-the-top in love with the game of basketball. And if you're not, it's just a bad fit with me.
And you know what? That's exactly what Deion Sanders said when he had his first meeting with his Colorado football team. The exact same thing. He said, some of you dudes just don't fit. Some of you dudes don't understand it. And I'll tell you what. Look, Molly, in the era and the economy of college basketball today, We call it NIL. It's pay for play. Let's be honest about it. We also have the understanding of the transfer portal. There'll be 2,500 kids in the transfer portal this year. So there'll be players that will decide to leave and move on. There are guys that are playing in the NCAA tournament, lose a game, and on the plane, they're entering themselves into the transfer portal. So all Rick Pitino's saying is, you know what? Some dudes will work out and fit. Some guys won't. That's just the truth. His job, look, in the end, whether you like it or not, college basketball right now, all players are on one year scholarships, number one. Number two, basically, they're employees. If you don't produce, if you can't help someone win and be successful, you know what's going to happen? You're going to lose your job. If a player doesn't fit Rick Pitino's vision, you know what? They're not going to be playing for St. John's next year. That's just the way it is.
Well, a couple of things. Number one, I think that Keyshawn on his show earlier this morning was pointing out that everybody's not one and done. You've got some four-year scholarship players or whatever, but I get where you're coming from, Coach. Here's the biggest thing that I wanted to address about Rick Pitino and about primetime Deion Sanders in terms of what they've said. They're absolutely right to say it, and I appreciate the honesty. Yeah. The fact of the matter is every player – ain't a player for them. And as far as I'm concerned, the transfer portal should make it easier for a coach to publicly declare that position, because there's nothing wrong with you being able to go elsewhere and play somewhere else next season. See, back in the day when they held you up and you had to, you know, forfeit a year's eligibility and stuff like this, or wait an additional year to play, with the transfer portal, that's not necessarily the case. And so with now, you have a situation where you're primetime Deion Sanders, you're Rick Pitino. If your mindset is like, there's certain players that I want, and there's certain players that I don't, and obviously you look at Rick Pitino, there's certain players that he elected to keep. So what does that tell you, Coach? He watched these players. He's seen them play. Not only that, he's seen their makeup. And he's saying, that guy is the kind of guy that I want. That guy is the kind of guy I don't want. You're honest. You're upfront. Mm-hmm. You give them an opportunity to leave and go elsewhere. You've done nothing wrong as a coach by stating that and being honest and transparent with that. I applaud both Primetime and Coach Rick Pitino for handling things the way that they do. They're trying to win, and they're inheriting programs that haven't gotten it done in a while. And they're saying, the hell with that. This is who we want. This is what we want at our program. I'm good with it.
All right, I want to do this. I want to bring in Jay Will to the conversation, because obviously you're going to have a unique perspective as a college athlete, right? Mm-hmm. At the same time, and we're saying it's a business, but they're still students as well, college students.
So Seth and I were going back and forth on the same page about this earlier. And Stephen A., I have no problem with coaches coming in, Deion Sanders saying, you know, I'm bringing my luggage with me. Cool, I get the business of sport. But you have also kids that have signed up to play with certain coaches that have been guaranteed scholarships. Now, I know scholarships are one-year renewable deal, contracts, right? I know certain conferences have it in their clauses that state, you know, if you decide to come to the school, regardless of what happens to the coach, you are guaranteed four years of an academic education. But that's not every conference. There's no uniform law around that as it relates to the NCAA. So there is an other side of this where coaches come in and they say, hey, look, this is what it is. If you can't play for me, pretty much saying my team has to get better. Kenny Payne's going through the same thing at Louisville, right? Like, he has players on his team. He's like, I'm trying to work with you, but I need to win at the end of the day. So a lot of these kids are being told, hey, by the way, now you're in the transfer portal. Good luck. Seth, you and I talk about it all the time. What's the percent of kids in the transfer portal who actually don't end up playing college basketball the next year? It's a pretty high percentage, right?
Well, I wouldn't say it's a high percentage, but there is a percentage. But if a kid's leaving St. John's at that level, you know, there's going to be a level of basketball that he can play, and I'm sure there'll be opportunities for him. I mean, let me ask you this, though, Jay. Well, I agree with everything you're saying, but what about the 2,500 kids that put their name in a transfer portal and just bolt after 1 year? It's got to be a two-way street, because in the end, you understand it, Jay Will, this is a business. And quite honestly, NIL is not NIL, because across the board right now, NIL is pay for play. These guys basically, and you and Jay Billis have always said it, they've become employees. And you know what? If you're an employee that is not producing, what is going to happen?
You get fired.
End of conversation.
Here's the problem. They're not employees. They're not employees.
Well, you know, I'll tell you one thing.
But there might be stipulations that it seems like they're
free agents
in that direction. And I hope so. They are free agents. But, like, look at the revenue that's generated in some of these towns. You're going to tell me that Notre Dame isn't big business in the state of like South Bend. Like, they're the one employing thousands of people. They're the biggest revenue generator in South Bend. You're going to tell me in Alabama that Alabama and Nick Saban, the football program, isn't employing thousands of people?
Hold on, Jay.
And those those players are getting fair market value, or you know what? They're going to go too far.
They're not getting fair market value.
They're going to go to Florida, or they're going to go to Arkansas, or they're going to go somewhere else in the SEC. Because that's the way the business of college athletics is turned to.
Coach, I agree with you. Coach Jay, let me get back to you about something here because it's something very important. Listen, when you talk about a coach, obviously we understand that the coach, listen, fair is a place where they judge pigs. That's what my boy Jeff Brown says. It doesn't exist.
Okay?
So we understand that fair is a place where they judge pigs. The bottom line is this. We understand that to some degree it's not going to be fair. We get all of that. But the flip side to it is this, Jay. You're acting like, okay, the money that's available out there, because Notre Dame, they're generating a certain amount of revenue along with other institutions. But you got roster spots to fill. And sometimes if you got to bring in play. It ain't even about the money. It's about making sure that those roster spots are filled with people that you have confidence in can produce for you. So that's really what it is. It's not really about, oh, my Lord, we're not making or we're spending too much money here or we're spending too much money there. No, it's really like if I got a roster 12 to 15, well, guess what? I got about four or five players that I know can ball. I got to bring them up in here. I can't have a roster with 20 dudes. That's not allowed. I can't have 23 dudes on a basketball roster. So it's really not about, or it's not just about the money. It's about the fact that those roster spots need to be filled with somebody you believe brings value to the equation as opposed to somebody who doesn't. It's not that you can't afford them. It's the fact that you can only have but so many roster, so many roster spots.
So that's
the way it goes.
I'm with you, Stephen, and I'm okay with it. I get the competitive advantages that come along with that. All I'm stating that is if a new coach comes in,
bless you,
then let's just call one uniform rule that just guarantees academics for the next 4 years. If your new coach comes in and says, you know what, Seth Greenberg, you played for Mike Anderson, I am now the new head coach of St. John's, you're out, you're done. Then if I choose to stay, then let me stay for the next 3 years and get my
education. So that's a one-way contract, Jay Will, because that player can leave anytime he wants through the transfer portal.
But that's what I'm saying. Then, like, let's make it all uniform. Then make an employees in.
I agree. I think we're going to have let me put this to you guys. I really believe in the next 2 to 3 years, we're going to have two-year contracts. These players are going to have two-year contracts.
Okay.
And that way, that's going to control the transfer portal.
I like that, Coach.
All right?
I like
There's going to be an accountability. And, and within the contract, there'll be academic stipulations. There'll be social stipulations.
Right.
There'll be responsibilities that these players have to uphold. And to me, you know what's going to happen? When that happens, all right, you're going to see the Power Fives separate. And you're going to see what we have basically
we
is
are.
The haves and have-nots.
Yes,
the NCAA tournament won't change.
Well, it's already
there'll be
anyway.
More teams in the NCAA tournament.
It's our, no, first
all
of all,
those
coach.
One-bid leagues,
coach.
All those one-bid leagues will play against each other to get into the big dance.
Coach,
that's
stop. Stop all of that. Stop acting like it's all fair now, please. I mean,
I know it isn't fair.
There's a haves and have-nots now. That's been happening for a while. That's not
I agree.
That's not new. That's number one. Number two, I will say this. I don't have any problem with that two-year plan that you just pointed out. That seems fine. I will say this in your favor as well, Coach. Devoid of the transfer portal. Jay, the transfer portal, if it didn't exist, your argument would be that much more significant. The fact that the transfer portal is in existence as a player, as a student athlete, you can't complain the way that you once did when you have the right to transfer anywhere
you
want to go.
That
transfer portal has changed that.
Yep.
So I agree with Coach there.
Then Seth,
and dude's
got to
win quick, man.
Then Seth, for each conference, let's put a cap on the conference and what they can spend so we can get out of this whole wild, wild west and these super PACs coming in and coaches recruiting players
from
other teams and outspend. Let's get some
You know there'll be a cap, but there'll be someone that'll be breaking that cap.
Seth, if you're going to make me an employee, then Stephen A., let's have some rev share. Let's have some rev share. Let's talk about it now.
The problem with the cap. Hold on, Jay.
Why not?
Hold on, Jay. Listen to what Coach is saying, though. The problem with the cap is you'll have those who will find a way to circumvent it. Once that happens, then we're back to the same complaints that we had for years leading up to all of this stuff. You don't want that.
Well, there
you
needs
don't
to be some
that.
Governing okay. body, though, Stephen A., right? Some governing
Gentlemen,
body.
Well, if you separate the big five.
This was a riveting discussion.
All started with UConn.
Riveting discussion, honestly. Seth, I didn't know we were going to go here. I thought we were going to talk about the games.
Enough,
but
Seth.
Listen, it was
Enough.
Great. And we'll continue it another day. We got to leave it there, though. But really, it was a great conversation.
Thanks, Molly. Appreciate it.
Coach, we'll talk tomorrow.
Good luck
coming
today.
Up. Thanks. Hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Brought to you by the Capital One Venture Card. Earn unlimited double miles on every purchase every day, and you can use those miles on any travel purchase. Plus, earn unlimited 5x miles on hotels and rental cars booked through Capital One Travel. Your next trip is closer than you think with the Venture Card from Capital One. Terms apply. See CapitalOne.com for details.
Time for a quick take. Lakers win a huge game against the Suns last night, going 7-5 since LeBron went down with a foot injury. Stephen A., are you worried that LeBron's pending return could actually disrupt the chemistry they've been building?
Not at all. He's LeBron James. He's a superstar in this league. He's an additive. He's not a minus. He's not a subtraction. And when you see the players that they've acquired, give Rob Pelinka a lot of credit. Vanderbilt and his defensive prowess. D'Angelo Russell looking the way that he's looking. You know, Beasley looking the way that he's looked periodically. And Austin Reeves. This dude can play. I like Austin Reeves a lot more. And, of course, I like Schrader as well. I like this team more and more, and LeBron back in the lineup healthy will definitely be a plus, and I can assure you it ain't too many teams that's going to want to see them if the Lakers get to the postseason. I promise you that.
For sure. I know another team other teams don't want to see, and that's where we're going right now. Week 6 of the XFL is set to kick off on Saturday, and there's only one remaining unbeaten. That would be the D.C. Defenders, led by their standout running back, Abram Smith, and a wild fan base that provides an electric atmosphere at Audi Field. We are joined now by the head coach of the undefeated D.C. Defenders, former Super Bowl champ, Reggie Barlow. Reggie, good morning. Thank you for being with us.
Good morning. Thank you guys for having us on.
Yeah, coach, your team is the lone unbeaten team in the XFL, sitting at 5-0. Why do you think you've had so much early success?
Well, it starts with the people that we've populated our team with. We have really good coaches. Our director of player personnel did a good job of putting this group of guys together. Our team operation, I mean, everybody's just bought in. Obviously, we got to have good players. These guys are bought into the team concept. They're playing at a high level. They're playing with a lot of confidence, and we're enjoying that.
Coach, as a guy that played in the NFL and obviously is now affiliated with the XFL, can you highlight some of the differences that between the two leagues and why the XFL should be so intriguing to the fan base out here?
Yeah, I mean, obviously the XFL is the league of opportunities. There's a lot of people that are getting opportunities to be in position that typically don't necessarily get that. There are some rules that are extremely different. We get a chance to go for three, go for two, go for one, which is a little bit different. But the other thing is our kickoff, right? Instead of being so far apart for safety reasons, our guys are 5 yards apart. So real interesting, good brand of football. If you've been to any games, if you watched any game, the energy is good. The guys are good, really good college guys that came on to the professional level, and they're showing what they're worth.
How's the D.C. fan base taking to the team?
I tell you, it's been really humbling to be the head coach and to see how these people have embraced the team and the excitement and the energy that they come with. Obviously, they got the beer snake going, and that thing has taken on a life of its own. They're excited every game. They bring the energy, and we're just happy that we get a chance to perform in front of them.
Coach, talk to us about your running back, Abram Smith, because he's been something special.
Yeah, Abram, he was the guy we took with the first pick. Obviously, he had an outstanding college career. He's had an opportunity to go up in the NFL and try out for camps and stuff like that, but to win a championship, to win games, you got to have a running game. And this guy, he runs the ball hard. He's smart. He will protect in the passing game. And ultimately, he's just a good team player.
Coach, as you well know, I'm a product of HBCUs. I attended Winston-Salem State University, and obviously you used to coach at Alabama. You started Alabama State, coached at Alabama State as well. I want you to speak to the kind of impact being affiliated and associated with an HBCU has had on you, particularly considering the situation that you're in right now, not just as a head coach, but as a GM, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, Steven, I appreciate that question. I am who I am because of HBCU, because of Alabama State giving me an opportunity to come there to play college football. Also giving me an opportunity to come back and be the head coach. And, you know, I learned so much from Alabama State, that experience. And then I was able to go on to Virginia State, which is a fine university that gave me an opportunity to continue to be a better coach, to continue to learn my craft. And, you know, as I mentioned, I am who I am because of HBCUs. They have been outstanding to me, and I'm grateful for them.
How mindful or cognizant are you of the fact that as we look in the National Football League today, and obviously something, you know, it's been a subject of contention for many, many years as it pertains to the paucity of African-American coaches being given the opportunity to be head coaches, you being in the XFL, having the success that you have. How mindful are you of those things that obviously have nothing to do with the XFL, but still it's football, it's what we pay attention to, and you being in the position that you're in, knowing how tough it is for African Americans to be head coaches?
Yeah, I'm extremely humble by the ownership and the executives that gave us this opportunity to be in this situation. We don't take it lightly. We do know that there are other people who deserve opportunities to be in a head coaching role, and we don't take that lightly. We want to make sure that we do our best, that we can put our best foot forward, put a good product out there, and let people see that. Not only are we smart and intelligent and know football, that we can build a team from scratch. We can get coaches and get a coaching staff together and be organized and communicate well. So it's important to me that we are in this position, and we know hopefully this will give other people, other African Americans, minorities, an opportunity to get that chance to coach in the National Football League.
Coach, before we let you go, Monday night you got a big one against the Roughnecks, only one loss. Yeah. What can we expect? And that one's on ESPN2, 7 Eastern. We're looking forward to it.
Yeah, well, we have a lot of respect for that team. Coach Wade, obviously, we're just so blessed we get a chance to go and coach up against a legend like that. They're a really solid team. They play well all season. Of course, our guys, we're looking forward to it. You always want to know how you measure up against some of the better teams. So it should be fun. It'll be an Aldi Stadium. Our fans will be there. The beer snake will be rolling, and we're looking for everybody to come out and support. If you can, check it out on TV. Our guys deserve that. Great brand of football, and we're looking forward to it.
Reggie Barlow, thank you kindly.
Appreciate you, Coach.
Thank y'all, Stephen. Thanks.
We'll be watching Monday. Best of luck.
Hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. Have you ridden an electric bike yet? Well, you need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to more exploring time outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range for up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus, Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting lectricebikes.com. That's L-E-C-T-R-I-C ebikes.com.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code FIRSTTAKE and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to gamble responsibly. See BetMGM.com for terms. This U.S. promotional offer not available in D.C. D.C., Mississippi, North Carolina, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369 for New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. For Massachusetts, 1-800-327-5050. For Iowa, 1-800-BETS-OFF. For Puerto Rico, 1-800-981-0023. For West Virginia, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. First bet offer for new customers only. Subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. In partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel.
We head to the Association for a quick take. Karl Anthony Towns returned to action for the first time since November and hit the game-winning free throws to get the win versus the Hawks. Stephen A., what does his return mean for the Wolves?
They've got a chance because guess what? They were hanging in there as a 500 club without him. And we all know Karl Anthony Towns can ball. And he showed up last night after being out since November. And he was still obviously a key contributing factor. 22 points after being off for so long and hitting, you know, the game-winning free throws. Give him a lot of credit, a lot of respect to his game. And I think he only helps them as well.
Absolutely. Hey, Molly Karam here, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. Vivid Seats wants to get you to the games you love this spring. Experience every pitch, assist, game-winning shot live and in person. And the best part, each transaction is a step toward a free 11th ticket with Vivid Seats rewards. Score unbeatable perks like free tickets, surprise seat upgrades, and annual birthday deals. As the official ticketing partner of ESPN, Vivid Seats is offering you $20 off your first $200 ticket purchase with code TAKE. That's code TAKE. Visit vividseats.com or download the app today. Vivid Seats. Experience it live. To football we go. Potential number one overall pick C.J. Stroud threw at Ohio State's Pro Day yesterday in front of a large crowd, including new Panthers head coach Frank Reich, GM Scott Fitterer, and owner David Tepper. The Panthers contingent, as Carolina has the number one pick after a trade with the Bears, also will be at Bryce Young's Pro Day today and plan to attend Will Levis's Pro Day on Friday. In Mel Kiper Jr.'s latest mock draft, he has Carolina using that number one pick on Stroud, but also has four quarterbacks going within the top five picks, so a lot of talent at the position in this draft. Time now to welcome in the man himself. Hi, Mel.
What's up, Mel?
Hey, Mel. Hey, Stephen A.
Mel, what'd you think? What'd you think of Stroud's performance? Talk to us.
Impressed, Molly and Stephen A. I think he's in his zone right now. He has been since the Georgia game. He carried that to the combine workout into his pro day. He, like I say, he's just feels it. You can see it. He has that it factor going right now. He's spinning it like no other. He's accurate to all levels. He just looks so confident, supremely confident. And I think when you watch the reaction of Frank Reich and the Carolina Panther organization and what was happening after that workout and the conversations, it looks like one big happy family, didn't it? So again, it's going to be tough for Bryce Young and Will Levis and Anthony Richardson to top what C.J. Stroud did in terms of those three different venues, a game situation against Georgia, the combine, and now the pro day. You're talking about nailing it. C.J. Stroud did.
Mel Kiper Jr., I love you, buddy. I need your help. I need your help desperately here. Here's the reason why. I mean, we've seen quarterbacks in the past, in the recent memory, we've seen Baker Mayfield, we've seen Sam Darnold and others get picked ahead of Josh Allen, for crying out loud. I want you to explain to the viewers out there the value of a pro day. I mean, I don't see a pass rush or anything like that. I don't see people get hit. I mean, talk to us, educate us about why. What goes on that is of such high value to NFL scouts, coaches looking on? Could you explain that to us, please?
That's a great point, because I've said pro days mean nothing over the years. I think these pro days mean a little more because these quarterbacks are so close. But in previous years, to your point, Stephen A., GMs have told me they knew who their quarterback was prior to the pro days. They still went to those pro days for a show to not tip their hand on what they'd be doing for trade purposes, but they already knew going into pro days, you're throwing against air, it's your deal, it's your day, it's your time, it's your receivers, everything's on point for you. The private workouts for quarterbacks coming up are much more important to the NFL teams, because that's them dictating, okay? So I think that's coming up, so that will be to be determined. But I think when you look at the third quarterback off the board. At least I mentioned Josh Allen, QB3. Justin Herbert, QB3. Justin Fields, QB4. The quarterbacks that have slipped just a bit have turned out to be really good for the most part. Now, Joe Burrow, really good up at number one. Trevor Lawrence, real good at number one. So there's no perfect formula, Stephen A., but the point about the combine workout for quarterbacks, not many balls should hit the ground. That was the case with C.J. Stroud. What he did, he kept the momentum going. That's all you can really say about that.
Let me also stay with C.J. Stroud on this one. I'm looking at his numbers. Obviously, he dipped in terms of completion percentage, 71.9 to like 66.3 last season, threw a less amount of touchdowns, threw less yards. You don't seem to have any concern about that whatsoever. Tell us why.
Well, he lost to Chris Olave and Garrett Wilson, and Jackson Smith and Jigba didn't play much at all. Yeah. So he had Marvin Harrison Jr. emerge as a big-time weapon. He's going to be a top-three pick next year, right? Marvin Harrison's son, Hall of Famer. Now you think about Abuka came on. So he had some weapons, but he didn't have those three dynamic performers. He had one great one and one really good one. Before, he had three that were uncoverable. So I think when you look at all that and you factor it in, his numbers were basically mirrored Bryce Young. Both had basically similar touchdowns. Stroud had six more. Now, Young didn't have the receivers he did 2 years ago this year. So that impacted. Both had 12 interceptions the last 2 years. Completion percentage very close. The difference was, Stephen A., 7 rushing touchdowns for Bryce Young, 0 over the last 2 years for C.J. Stroud. When he did show against Georgia, and he said it, and he stated the fact that I can do that. I can take what I did against Georgia, and I can move it forward into the NFL, which should have done a little more, but I didn't have to. Okay, now you saw that against Georgia. We didn't see it against from game to game for Ohio State when he was quarterbacking there. The NFL team, the draft, if it's Carolina, whoever, has to feel like that Georgia game will reflect what type of runner, what type of escapability, what type of basically extending plays and seeing the field on the move, all the things he did against Georgia, we will see that in the NFL.
Mel, I want to go defense because, you know, we do say defense wins championships. You know how much Stephen A. loves Alabama. How about their D-end, Will Anderson? What's the ceiling for him?
He's a good one. Now, can he be great? Probably not. I mean, when I say great, special, but he had a heck of a lot of sacks and tackles for loss. Now, he's not the explosive edge guy that a Von Miller or a Myles Garrett is, so he's not going to get you necessarily 18 to 20 sacks a game. He may get you 10 to 12 sacks a game, which is really good for Will Anderson Jr. I think teams now are debating, well, whether he can be that special elite guy, or is he just the guy's going to be really, really good? Really, really good you'll be satisfied with. I think Arizona grabs him at pick number 3.
So going high. All right, Mel, appreciate you. We'll be talking to you much, much more these coming months, as not even months. What are we? About how many weeks out? Are 4 weeks out?
Five and
now?
A half weeks, 6 weeks. Yeah.
Five weeks, 6 weeks. Okay, yeah. There we go. It's coming close. Yeah.
First Take fans, listen up. Have you heard you can listen to episodes of this very show ad-free on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership? That's right. All your favorite First Take episodes can be heard on Amazon Music ad-free. But that's not all. You can listen to other top podcasts like The Low Post and PTI ad-free as well. They also have favorite shows like The Daily, Part of My Take, and Up First, all without ads. You know what this means? Uninterrupted listening, so no more cliffhangers. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts, so we know they definitely have something for you. And it's already included in your Prime membership. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/firsttake. That's amazon.com/firsttake to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Here at ESPN, we've been celebrating Women's History Month and highlighting icons in and around the sports world. Today, we honor a legend in the boxing world, Leila Ali. Leila is a retired professional boxer who competed from 1999 to 2007. During her career, she was in a class of her own. She won a perfect 24-0 with 21 wins coming from KO. She's widely regarded as the best female boxer of all time, a world-class athlete, but outside the ring, she also is a philanthropist and an author writing the autobiography Reach. Oh, there she is. Let me keep going. Hold on. Finding Strength, Spirit, and Personal Power for her achievement in the ring. I actually had a lot more about the Hall of Fame, but she's on the screen right now. And Leila, let me just say this. We've gotten to meet, I think, once or twice in person, and I used to work with your husband at NFL Network. Please tell Curtis I say hi. But you get better looking. Like, I don't understand it. Stephen A. can't say it. Like, when you popped on the screen, I'm like, this woman got all the accomplishments. But excuse me.
She and I have been friends for years. I most certainly can't say it. Yeah, she looks better and better.
Saying.
Yes.
Seriously.
I can say it. What's going on, Layla?
Thank you for being with us. Layla, how are you?
I'm so good. Thank you for the compliments. Well, you know, I'm not fighting anymore. So I think, you know, your face just naturally softens yeah. up. You know, the calluses go away. You know, all that.
Exactly. All that good stuff. All right. So obviously Women's History Month, and we've been looking at a lot of icons like yourself. But I'm curious, who was an inspiration to you, besides obviously your father, a female athlete growing up?
You know, it might surprise you for me to say this, but growing up, I didn't really get into sports until I saw women's boxing. But I will say that when I thought about that, you know, you're asking me, Jackie Joyner Kersee, Flo-Jo, those are the women that stand out in my mind just as strong, powerful, but yet feminine women. And of course, as I learn more about them, now I'm even in more awe of them now as a grown woman myself.
Layla, you and I go back decades. I love you dearly. You know that. I've got to ask you, you know, people talk about you and how inspirational you were and still are. When you hear the word inspiration attached to you, how do you feel about it? How important is it for you to be an inspiration to so many young ladies out there?
It's so important. It absolutely is one of the first things on my mind when I make decisions, when I make business decisions, when I make personal decisions by how I represent myself publicly, especially being a Black woman. You know, we all need some sort of inspiration to become great ourselves. You know, I was inspired in boxing when I saw Chrissy Martin fighting on television. You know, all she did was get in the ring and do what she does. She wasn't thinking about me, but it inspired me. So I'm aware of, you know, the platform that I have, but I'm also aware of just walking down the street and how you carry yourself, and you don't even have to be on television for young girls to see. So it's very important to me.
I don't know whether the word pressure is applicable here, but I'll ask it anyway, Layla. You know, having the last name Ali may have been imperative, and there may have been some pressure attached to it when you stepped in the ring. But outside the ring, what's more pressurized? What you had to do in the ring? Or what you have to be about and what you have to, how you have to represent yourself out of the ring because of how influential and inspirational you are?
Definitely in the ring was a lot of pressure, more pressure than I even realized back then. You know, I handled it very well. When you think about being an 18-year-old girl stepping into her father's footsteps, who's the greatest of all time, he told me not to do it. He told me I couldn't do it. And I defied him. And I had never been an athlete until I decided to become a boxer. It's something I did on my own. It's not like my dad was like, take care of my daughter, hold her hand, make sure she has the best everything. You know, a lot of people don't realize that. So there was a lot of pressure on me, but I loved the sport and I wanted to be the best that I could be at it. And that was what my focus was. Outside of the ring, people don't really have, I don't think, really expectations for me. So it's really about the expectations that I have on myself, knowing my legacy, knowing about that cloth that I'm cut from. And I want to make an impact. And as you know, I'm doing that with my lifestyle brand, because heart disease, diabetes, you know, obesity are the leading killers in our world. And these are things that we can change. So that's what I do through Layla Ali Lifestyle, is trying to make an impact there.
Layla, talk to us about your lifestyle brand so people at home can know exactly what else you're working on, because that's important.
Well, I'm all about encouraging people to be the best that they can be, the greatest they can be. I had to do it in the shadow of my father. And, you know, so I'm an expert in that space, like how to overcome that and create my own lane, right, while still paying homage to him. So through their health, their mindset, and their purpose in life. So if you were to go to LaylaAli.com, that's what you would find out that I'm all about. And then I mentioned the healthy lifestyle, and so much of that has to do with food. You know, I've competed on Chopped. I won and competed. I've got my cookbook, and I have Layla Ali Spice Blends. I have my Uplenish Nutrition products. I have my skincare products. I have a home decor line with At Home, a national retailer. So I got my hands full, but the whole base of it is helping people to be the best that they can be in this life.
Well, damn it, you just made me upset, because you said you got your skincare products. I didn't know about that
last
part. I need the skincare product. I mean, you never sent me anything, Layla. I mean, what's up with that?
But we need the skincare products here in New York. Please have a box set. We need to try them. Stephen A. and I will both use them.
Tell your producer, send me your addresses. I got you.
I'm going to send you the address.
Done deal. You're literally glowing. Can I just say one thing, though? Obviously, so many things happening for you. Just inducted into the Hall of Fame as well, International Boxing Hall of Fame. What did that mean to you?
Oh, I mean, that just, it was the biggest thing ever. I actually was inducted into the Female Boxing Hall of Fame. I just have so much gratitude. And just to be recognized by your peers as one of the best is an amazing feeling, because obviously all that blood, sweat, and tears you leave in that gym, you know, and then in the ring, and then to be recognized for it is absolutely amazing. And of course, my father is also in the International Boxing Hall of Fame. So to be there with him means everything to me.
I think I know the answer to this question, but before I let you get on out of here, I mean, with the men, we're seeing some of these dudes, Tyson and Roy Jones Jr. and others, getting back into the ring for some reason or another. You haven't fought professionally since 2007, if I remember correctly. You ain't thinking about doing that to try and beat somebody up, are you? You ain't thinking about anything like that, are you?
You said you don't know why they think about it. If they're getting offered $20 and $30 million, I think that would make a lot of people come out of retirement, no matter what it is that they do. Nobody's offering me that kind of money, so yeah, I don't have those thoughts.
Okay, I'm just checking.
Layla, you truly are an inspiration. Thank you so much for being with us. This was a lot of fun.
Thanks for having me on. It's always my pleasure.
Okay. All right. And now we're going to bring in RG3, going to join us here. We're going to get into a little bit of football. I got a quick take. The Jets traded away wide receiver Elijah Moore in their 2023 third-round pick, number 74 overall, to the Browns for the second-round pick. The Jets also finalized a contract with speedy former Kansas City Chiefs wideout Mecole Hardman. RG3, what did these moves mean for you know where I'm going? That Aaron Rodgers sweepstakes. Rodgers watch continues.
Yeah, I mean, I think these moves show you that they're fully committed to getting Aaron Rodgers. They're trying to get more draft capital because the number one issue the Jets have isn't offensive weapons. They've got a ton of them. And even if OBJ is on the radar of possibly going there as well, but they don't have protection. Right now, last year, they had 9 different starting units at the offensive line position. 11 different linemen played, and they didn't have the same 5 guys blocking for the quarterback for more than 3 games. So they need as much draft capital as they can to go solidify the line in front of Aaron Rodgers, and I think that's what these moves are about. We all get hyped up about the sexy players, the running backs, the wide receivers, but those offensive linemen are underappreciated, and I think the Jets know they have a lot of work to do up front.
Well, definitely. But I think that way it really, really stands out, RG, is that I think that's outside of the quarterback. Really, that's all you have to shore up. You know, you expect the Breece Hall back. You know he can run with the football. You know, yeah. Garrett Wilson can catch the football. Obviously, you bring Mecole Hardman in. He's no scrub. I think he's an upgrade from Elijah Moore, not to knock Elijah Moore in any way. But I think he's somewhat of an upgrade, particularly from that slot receiver's position. I think you look at it from that perspective of what they have in place in acquiring Alan Lazard as well, who's a familiar target of Aaron Rodgers. But even if Aaron Rodgers, by some happenstance, this doesn't end up happening, Lazard is no scrub. So I definitely think that you look at the Jets and what they bring to the table defensively. They've upgraded themselves offensively. They need 2 things shored up now. You got to secure your offensive line, protect your quarterback, and then you got to actually get a quarterback behind center. That's really what you got to do. But I don't have any problems with the moves that they're making. It all makes sense, and I think that GM Douglas is doing a pretty damn good job.
RG3, let me ask you this. This team is just littered with talent, right? Oh, yeah. So say Aaron Rodgers does join the squad and he plays for the Jets, where would this rank amongst teams he's played with, just in terms of him having talent around him when he was with the Packers?
Yeah, I wouldn't say that this would be the best team that Aaron Rodgers has ever been on. I think that team would actually be the 2011 team that went 15-1. Mm-hmm. Offensive firepower through the wazoo. You're talking about Jordy Nelson, Greg Jennings, James Jones, Donald Driver. They had Randall Cobb as a rookie that year. They went 15-1. But the thing is, they actually lost in the first round of the playoffs that year. They won the Super Bowl in 2010 when they didn't. They had similar weapons, but not obviously Randall Cobb, but they had a top 5 defense. And that's the thing. There's been few quarterbacks that have ever won a Super Bowl without a top five defense. So Aaron Rodgers, if he does get to go to the Jets, he will have a top five defense over there with Sauce Gardner and C.J. Mosley and Queenan Williams and D.J. Reed, all these guys leading the way. And I think that's the key that we're not really focusing on here. It's not that Aaron Rodgers is just going to go out there and outscore everybody. He's going to have a defense that is going to be bona fide top five in the league next year.
I agree with you. I definitely agree with you about that 2011 squad. What I would remind you, the year they won the Super Bowl when they went 10-6, they had the number two ranked defense, though. That defense was real, no question about it. But they upgraded on the offensive end of, on the offensive side of the ball. So I get you absolutely right. When you talk about Jordy Nelson with Driver and Jennings and those brothers, I mean, that you can't dismiss that. There's no question that that was their best team. But when you look at this, the potential of this Jets team, here's the thing. When you think about the potential, even with Aaron Rodgers, even with us everybody knowing they need a quarterback, it's right. Because we know their defense is all that. That's why we feel that way. If you just looked at the Jets' offense, you'd go like this. They're all right. You know what I'm saying? Gary Wilson, I mean, you know, McCole Hardman, Breece, they're all right. You know, they good to go. They'll be cool. It's that defense that has you fantasizing about the Jets ultimately bringing a championship back to New York because Sauce Gardner and the brothers do not play. They've got a shutdown defense. They can put you on lock and key. They really, really can if your offense just gives you something and gives them an opportunity to get some air. You could do it.
Stephen A., would this be the best team in New York across all sports?
Ooh. Well, here's what I would tell you. I'm almost allergic to saying that because my New York Yankees are here. But I will confess the time has come to start holding the Yankees accountable. The greatest sports franchise in history with 27 World Series titles hasn't been to the World Series since 2009. Now, we can blame the trash can controversy, the trash can cheating tendencies of the Houston Astros one of those years. But what about the other damn 14 years? Damn it, I'm sick of it. I'm tired of them not getting to the World Series. I'm not putting them at the top of that heap anymore. The Giants have been Super Bowl champions more relevant, yep, more recently than the Jets, obviously. But I think that when you look at the teams top to bottom, if the Jets were to get Aaron Rodgers, I think you could make a legitimate argument they're the best team in New York right now.
I mean, Stephen, I think if the Jets win a Super Bowl with Aaron Rodgers, then you can start having those conversations because they're going to ride that wave like Johnny Tsunami. They haven't won a Super Bowl since 1969. I wasn't even alive
68.
In 1969.
68.
And gas was 35 cents for a gallon of gas.
Wow.
Talking about a gallon of gas.
That'd
that's a
nice.
Long that's a long yeah. time. So I don't think they could automatically become the best franchise in New York. But if they win a Super Bowl, that you better believe
I'm
they're going to ride
this
that
way. This year, you look at them in terms of who has the best chance of winning the championship.
Okay, that's a different question.
I would say it's them right now. If they got Aaron Rodgers.
Stephen A., what was it like when gas was 35 cents a gallon?
I don't know. I wasn't even 1 year old yet. But it's a good question, Molly. Here's
Dang,
the bigger question.
Molly,
how is
shots.
It that it's that long ago and I still look as good as I look? That's the question. That's the question.
That's
sleep
crazy.
On that, Mellow Yellow. Sleep on you.
He does look good for his age.
He does.
Really?
You got to give a shot out where it is.
He
the hairline looks good, too. You
he
know what I mean?
Looks great. Yeah, you do. So
can't
great,
rock
great,
though. Can't rock great.
Can't rock.
And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
You see this? A family watching baseball on DirecTV with no satellite dish in sight.
Let's heckle them.
You call that changing the channel?
Choke up on the remote, buddy.
I hope getting all these games on DirecTV makes up for your mother not pre-chewing your sunflower seeds.
DirecTV has the most MLB games. Call 1-800-DIRECTV. Claim based on total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package. Terms and restrictions apply.